Okay. What I've got here is some very, very basic things about reading and writing a file. Essentially, that's what computing is really all about. Reading data and writing data, because that's the value, one of the values of computing is that I can save things on a file or on a database and then retrieve them to use. Okay, so I wanted to look just very briefly at writing a file. I'm not looking at writing a database. Writing a database in Visual Basic is more complex than writing a file. So I'm just looking at a very simplistic way of writing a file. And a lot of it is basically copy and paste. Okay? So, what I've got here, and let's see, I'm going to say start. So this is what I've got. I've set up a field to take in an ID number, a name, and a major. And I've got two buttons, one that says write and the other that says end. Okay? So, my button right click is the big one up there. So I set up a button right that I can click on, and this is going to write. Then I said, okay, I'm going to define something. And I called it data write. Okay, that's my definition. I defined it. That's the name of the line that I want to write out on the disk. So I said dim data write as a string and make it equal to whatever is in the text box, concatenated with a comma, concatenated whatever that's in the text name box, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with whatever is in the major text box, concatenated with VBCRLF, which basically is means skip down to the next line. VBCRLF, line control, line feed. It means that I am skipping down to the next line. So I set up the line, and what I want the line to look like is the ID, comma, name, comma, major, comma. So I've set up a delimiter of a comma. Okay, the delimiter is separating the fields. I could have used another delimiter. I could have used an asterisk. I could have used anything. But a comma kind of makes sense. That's the way that most delimiters are, is a comma separating the fields. Then I have, and this is where the copy and paste comes in, mycomputer.filesystem.writeAllText. Okay? And I have to tell it where it's going to write it. So I decided I wanted to write it on my G drive, and I created a folder on my G drive called info. And so I went in and just created a folder on my G drive called info. And that's where I'm going to put the data, is in that folder called info. And I'm going to call the file that I'm creating students.f14.txt. If you're looking at my example, it probably has a totally different address there.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, the address that you put there is the address where you want it to go. And I decided today, I went in and basically changed it last night, and said I wanted to go into the G drive, into info, and be called students.f14.txt. Okay, so I made a text file. And what I want to write is, this tells me where I want to write it. This tells me the format that I want to write, or the line that I want to write, data write. And that's the one that I have up here, dim data write. That's where I describe the line. And comma true, I honestly don't remember what that means. It works with Comet True, so throw it in and we can go and look. I'll try to remember to look it up later.
So if the directories in the file do not exist, will it create the path and the file?
No, no. It's already got to exist. Okay. If you want to put it on the root, then you can just leave out the folder. But I was putting it into a particular folder that I wanted it to go into. So I said, okay, I'm going to put it on the G drive. I'm going to put it into a folder that I created called info, and I'm going to call what I put in that folder students at 14. Okay? And then after I do that, I am basically, after I write it, I'm clearing out my boxes, and I'm setting the focus on the ID number, which means I put the cursor on the ID number. Don't have to do that, but it's just a good way of getting them ready to write the next thing is to put the cursor on the ID number. Okay? So, I'm going to put in 111. John Doe is a CI major, and I'm clicking on write. Okay? And as soon as I wrote, we hope it wrote, I cleared out all of the boxes and I put the cursor up here in the ID number with the focus. Okay. So, if you try to run yours without changing the address, it's not going to work. You got to fix up an address that you want to put it at, a path. And then I'm saying 222, and I'm saying Susan Ash, and she's a CI major, and I write. And then I'm saying 333, and this is Linda French, and she is also a CI major, and I write. Okay? So I ended up putting three things out there. And now I am going to click on end. Eventually. Okay, so now I'm going to go in and look at what I've got there. So I'm looking at my G drive, I'm looking at info, and I have students with an S is the one I created today. So I'm clicking on that, and there are my three records that I put in. And notice I have the comma as the separator between them. So it wrote out what I put into the boxes, and it wrote out the information. Okay, so I created a file. Okay, so now I've got a file, and this file is here until I do something to make it go away. Okay? So now, the next one, we're going to go in and we're going to read this file. Okay, so I am going to go in and look at the read program that reads this file. So I'm going to do file. I want to save this. Okay, so file, open project, and now I'm going to the read. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is I want to come in here and put an S in there because that's what I did on the last one. The one without the S is the one I created yesterday. The one with the S is the one I created today. So I'm going to have it there. And I'm saying start. And I'm coming in here, and I'm going to say read. And it reads the first record. Okay, so my read brought up the first record. So there is my first record. And if I click on read again, I now have the second record. And if I click on read again, I now have the third record. And if I click on read again, it tells me that end of file reached, which means there aren't any more records. And so I brought up that message that said end of file reached. Okay. So that's how I go about running this. Now, up at the top, again, we've got a wonderful line. I dimmed it as my reader, dim my reader, and then the rest is copy. Over here, I put in the name of the path, G Info Students F14. And I need to have exactly the same path there so that it can find it. If I have a different path, then it's not going to find my file, because I put my file on the G drive in the directory called info. So now I got to tell it to go to the G drive and look in the directory called info. And I have to give it the same name as the name that I did when I wrote it, so that it can find it. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Maybe. So, down on when I click button read, it said dim current row as a string. Current row is the row that I'm about to read. And I'm saying here, actually before that, the form read load. When the form read load comes in here, I basically, again, copy this. Although my reader is what I've got up there, my reader, so I have to have my reader down here. And I put in that the delimiter was going to be a comma. Okay? So essentially, when I wrote it, I used a comma as a delimiter. When it's reading it, it needs to know what the delimiter is, what the thing between fields is. And so I'm telling it there using the comma, that is the delimiter. So, up here I said, okay, if not end of file, if not my reader dot end of data, that means as long as I can still see a record. If I can't still see a record, then I put into something I called label1.txt, I put the message, end of file reached. Okay? Now, I used a label for this because notice there was nothing there up until the point that I hit end of file. And then all of a sudden, it popped up. Well, using a label means that would happen. If I used a text box, there'd be an empty box sitting there. So I decided to use a label. And so when I hit end of file, so in other words, if it's not end of file, I do these, and we'll look at this in a minute, else I put on end of file reached, so that I know that I've hit end of file. So over here, if it's not end of file, I say the current row equals my reader.read fields. So that means it reads a record. It reads a record. And then what current row is current row is basically bringing in all of the stuff. And it knows the comma is a delimiter. And it is basically setting up an array. A lot of times computers do that behind the scenes. If I have three fields on each record, it will set up the first field as current row, the zeroth element. It will set up the next field as, on the current row, first element. On the next one, current row, second. If I had eight fields out there, it would go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? The comma being the delimiter. And the thing that tells it that there's another field coming. End of this field, beginning of next. That's what the comma does for me. So I've said, take the first row, current row modified by zero is the first field, and put it in the text ID box. Take the next field and put it in the text name box. Take the next field and put it in the text major box. And it minded perfectly. And it put the fields that were out there up. So again, if I go in and look at the data, that was the data. And so it was basically saying, okay, whatever one I just read is the current row, because I said go and read fields and put them into current row. So every time I hit the row read button, it will go and get the next record and put it in this current row. And then I'm saying this is current row that the zero points to, this is current row that the one points to, this is current row that the two points to. So I'm getting the zero field, the first field, and the second field. Okay? And it is taking those and putting them in the appropriate text box. So I'm saying take it and put it in text ID.text, text name.text, text major.text. That's what I like to see, Mark, is nodding of heads. Okay, thank you. Now you remind me of one of those wind-up toys that you put up and it keeps going. Okay. Questions? Does it make sense? Okay. All righty. Any questions? Okay, we're done with Visual Basic. You're not done, but I am.
Okay, I have a question then. I think I might have missed this, but when you're building a project, how are you building the form as far as including, you know, text entry boxes, text display?
Just by drag and drop.
And what... Where are those located?
On the toolbar.
On the toolbar.
So if we get out of run mode, you have to be out of run mode in order to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have to go back to design mode, and there's the toolbar. Toolbox. Okay, there's the toolbox. If you don't find it, go to view, and you can find it under view.
Oh, okay, so they're all here, you drag and drop.
Right.
There you go. Nice.
And then you just drag the text box, you drag the label. Now, interestingly enough, okay, quiet just for a minute. Remember I said there was a label down there? Well, looking at this text box, you'd never know that, right? If you come over here, right under the word properties, they list all of the fields that you used. Right under the word properties, they list all of the fields you used. You have to be in design mode. And here's label one, right there. So I know it exists. And here is label one. And when I click on it, notice it gives me that teeny tiny little box there that tells me that's what it is. Okay? So if I click over here on label one is right there. But it's hard to see when you look at the design. But all of the things that you have on the form are listed. If you hit this down arrow, it will show you all the fields that you used.
Click on the down arrow, click what?
Just click on the one you want. So if, let me get out of ink mode. If I come over here and just click on it, they all just come up.
Oh, okay.
Well, I clicked on label one because that's where I wanted to see where label one was, and it brought up that little box. If I now leave here and I click on label major, notice what it did. Hello? When I click on label major, it showed me that this is label major. If I click on text major, which is going to be down here, it highlights that. So I can find things on my form if I can't remember what I call them, and I should name them such that I can remember what I call them. But if I don't, I can find them by clicking on these fields down here. That's right, exactly. If you call them field 1, field 2, field 3, field 4. Okay, questions. Okay. Then I am going to move on. We are completely changing direction, which by now you ought to be used to, since I do it to you all the time. This is actually the only course that I do that in much, because the other courses are all a specific topic. But this course has lots of topics. Okay, we're going to look at numbering systems, because the department decided that this was a good course to put numbering systems in. So it really doesn't fit, but we do it anyway. Okay, so we're going to look at numbering systems. Now, the handout I gave you that I've got here that we're going to click on is old. Okay, and I'm serious when I say it's about 20 years old. So the code stuff on there is out of date. Okay, the code stuff, which is the last half of that, is totally out of date. Ignore it. We will get to code stuff, and actually we're going to look at ASCII, and there's the reference for ASCII. But we probably won't get to that till next Tuesday. But numbering systems are numbering systems are numbering systems, and they haven't changed. So a 20-year-old handout on numbering systems is the same as a today handout on numbering systems. So I'm lazy, and I haven't redone it. Okay. So, first of all, we're going to look at... How many of you know these things? How many of you know binary and hex?
No, I don't know hex.
You know hex? How about binary?
I've learned.
Okay. Okay, so just be quietly bored. All right? Okay. So, decimal numbering system is base. Decimal numbering system is base 10, which means it has digits from 0 to 9.
I
don't
know
base 12. Huh? What is base 12? There is a baseball.
I know, but...
All right. As I said, I don't really care to hear from you. Binary is base 2, which means it has the digits 0 and 1. Okay? So it's base 2. Hex, which is hexadecimal, is base 16. So it has digits from 0 to F. Okay? What happened was when they hit 9, there aren't any more digits. So they said, okay, we're going to call the next digit A and the next digit B and the next digit C. And to get up to having 16 digits, they went to F. So when I count in hexadecimal, I go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 1, A, 1, B, 1, C, 1, D, 1, E, 1, F, 2, 0. And so I have to go through all of that counting.
Well, okay. They did away with this, right?
No. Hexes.
No, no. Hex is something you're going to be using and running into. And
why did they do A and B? Why they started O? For what?
It's not O, that's zero.
That's zero. That's zero throughout.
So you don't get the alphabet is a zero?
No, it's not an alphabet. It's a numbering system. So. No, it's a number.
I don't do a language.
If you're in hex, A is a number.
You can't do 10 because that's two digits.
That's so right.
You have to do A.
They had to come up with something, and they came up with A. Okay, and they use capital A's too. We tend to be used capital letters when we're doing this. So, those are the numbering systems that we're going to look at. Okay, so binary has got zero and one, so we're going to look at binary first. Okay, so if I count decimal is a zero, and binary is a zero. Decimal one is binary one, but now I've run out of digits. Because binary only has two digits, because it's base two, so I only have two digits. Okay, so I run out. So, decimal two, what I do is I say, okay, one plus one, okay, and I only have two digits, zero and one, remember. So one plus one is 1 0. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Okay, in decimal, 1 plus the maximum digit is 9, right? Maximum digit in decimal is 9. 1 plus 9 is 1 0. Because basically what you're doing is you've maxed out the digits, so you move over a position.
Wait, does that make sense?
So 1 plus 9 is 1 0.
What 1 plus 1?
1 0.
And that's one, binary or decimal?
That's binary. 1 plus 1 is 1 0.
So if I walk into math class, I can get the train.
Yeah, absolutely, if you're taking binary. What you do is when you are actually confused, you write down base 10 and you write down base 2 there. And that tells you what base you're in. So you put that little number down below if there's a possible of confusion as to what numbering system you're in. In decimal, all the numbers are base 10. In binary, the numbers are base 2, which means that it is in the binary system. Okay, so 1 plus 1 is 1 0. And again, that's in binary.
So
okay.
0 plus 0 is 0.
That's okay. Zero
Stop asking
zero
questions
zero.
And make us all confused.
Okay. So, when I run out of digits and I want to add one to the maximum, in any language, I put down a zero and move over to the next position. Okay, because I have to move over a position when I have maxed out of digits. So 1 plus 9, put down the 0, carry the 1, and bring it down. I move over to the next position. Here, 1 is the max, so 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, now, if I want to add one more to this, because I now would like to have 3, okay, what is 3 going to be? Well, 1 and 0 is 1. And 1 and nothing is 1. So it's just 1, 1. Okay? So that's 1, 1. Okay, so what's 4? Well, with 4, I'm adding 1 more. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So 4 is 100. Okay? It's on that the handout I gave you. There's a numbering system there.
My paycheck to me. All right, this form right here.
So now I'm going to add one to it, and what am I going to have?
1 0 1 0 1.
That's right, 1 0 1. Okay, so 5 is 1 0 1.
So basically, every other one you actually just add what's in it.
No.
Well, you got 1 and 1 is 1 0.
That's right.
10 and 1 is 11.
Yep. Okay, so now we're going up to 6, right? 1 plus 1 is what?
0.
Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1. Bring down the 1. So 1, 1, 0. So 6 is 1, 1, 0. Okay, what's 7? 1, 1, 0 plus 1.
1, 1, 1.
1, 1, 1. What's 8?
Zero.
Zero. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Okay. Yeah.
So in order to figure out any number, do you have to go through like the just adding the plus one every single time?
No. No. In fact, we'll get there next, but this was my first step. Okay.
So when binary is actually read and it's just a string of ones and zeros, how does it differentiate between what block is one number and what block is another number?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, but you can have a long... I mean, I can have 25 digits of binary if I want to,
right,
and just blah, 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 and that's one binary number. In computers, and this is the reason why we look at binary, everything is stored in on-off bits. And so you have to decide what kind of a machine you're working with. Is it an 8-bit machine? Is it... When I first was coding, we actually had 6-bit. Characters were 6-bit, which didn't allow for uppercase. There weren't enough characters to have uppercase. I mean, lowercase. It was all uppercase. So 6 bits made a byte back then, a byte being a character. Now 8 bits makes a byte. So now if you see from the computer a string of binary and it's representing what's in the computer, you divide it up in eights, in groups of 8, and each group of 8 will represent a character.
Okay, that answers my question.
Okay, so each group's...
That's what I understand when you're saying it. So if you just put 200 zeros and then a 1, what's it going to do?
Well, 200 zeros and then a 1 is 1. The big question is, how do you get a 1 and then 200 zeros? And God knows what it is.
If you're doing
computer type stuff.
Right.
But if I'm just doing binary, that one that's way out there, I mean, I can actually figure out positions. Okay, let me get into the next thing that we're doing, and that may help. Okay, so decimal things. I have, for example, 10 to the 0 power, and anything to the 0 power is defined as 1. Yeah. 10 to the first is 10. 10 to the second is 100. 10 to the third is 1,000, and so forth. So that's what we mean when we say the tens position, the hundreds position, the thousands position. That's because that's the way it works. Okay? Now in binary, when I have
I have 2 to the 0, which is defined as 1, 2 to the 1st, which is 2, 2 to the 2nd, which is 4, 2 cubed, which is 8. And then it keeps going, 16, 32, 64, 128, and so forth, going on out. Okay? So before we looked at a decimal 6 was equal to a binary 110, right? When we were doing the list, we did. Okay, so if I have a 110 and I write under it the power, 2 to the 0 is 1, 2 to the 1st is 2, 2 to the 2nd is 4. Okay? Now, what did we do over here? If I had written the number 51563, okay, that's 1 times 1,000 plus 5 times 100 plus 10 times 6 plus 1 times 3 is what that really is. Okay, because the 1 is in the thousands position, so it's 1,563. But that 5 is weighted by 100 because it's in the hundreds position. So that 5 is worth 500. If I wrote the 5 over here, it's only worth 5. If I write it in the thousands position, it's worth 5,000, right? So it's value times position. Okay, the value of the digit times the position. So over here, I am having, okay, 0 times 1 is 0, right? 2 times 1 is 2, right? 4 times 1 is 4. So that is 6 in decimal. Okay, so I can figure out the value of these by multiplying face value. So what I'm doing is I'm multiplying face value times positional value. Okay, so I'm multiplying face value times positional value. So 110 will get me 6. Okay. So, taking that, what is 110111? I want to turn this into decimal. It's now binary. So what I have to do is I have to multiply face value, which is what I've got there, times positional value. Okay? So this is 2 to the 0, which is 1. This is 2 to the 1st, which is 2. And then I get real bored with writing this. So I then go 4, 6, oh yeah, 6, good job. 4, 8, and what's the next one? Okay, because 2 squared is 4, right?
Yep.
2 cubed is 8, right?
Yeah, 16.
Because it's the next position over. The zeroth position, first, second, third. And the next one is 2 to the 4th, which is 16. And the next one is 2 to the 5th, which is 32.
Yeah,
so
the numbers at the bottom
are related.
So basically,
times 2
times
5. 2 to the 5th, which is 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2.
They just go by value.
That's right.
The numbers don't matter. It could be
that's right. Well, in binary, it can only be ones and zeros. Okay, in decimal, it could be any number up to 9.
So it was a 1 instead of a 0 right there, so it would be considered.
Well, but we're going to do a multiply now, because we're going to multiply face value times positional value.
but it's always going to be two no matter what.
No, that's just the
it's two to the something. Just like in decimal, the first one was 10 to the zero, then the next 10th position was 10 to the first, 100th position was 10 to the second.
So I'm saying how is it's a base 2, I understand, so how is a 1 equal in the 2?
It's not. It's 2 to the zero is defined as 1. There's a mathematical definition for it. I've actually seen the mathematical formula. I couldn't do it by memory if you like my life depended on it. But there is a mathematical thing that says everything, anything to the zero power is defined as 1. Right. Anything to the zero power is 1. And again, that's a mathematical equation. If you really can, go look it up on the web and you'll find the mathematical solution to it.
So
now I'm multiplying, and then this is 2 to the first, and we know something to the first is itself. This is 2 squared, which is 4, 2 times 2. 2 cubed is 2 times 2 times 2. 2 to the fourth is 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, and we keep going on like that. So these numbers, which is what I usually write down, I usually don't write the 2 to the power, okay?
Just because it's a base 2 means it's going to be a 2.
That's right. So just like base 10. Just like it.
Well, you're going to be working with that base value stuff after.
We're not done yet. Let me finish off. Okay, so I'm going to say 1 times 1. Okay, so 1 times 1 equals 1, right? Now the next one is 1 times 2, and that's 2, right? The next one over is 1 times 4, which is 4. The next one is 0 times 8, which is 0. The next one is 1 times 16, which is 16. And the next one is 1 times 32, which is 32. Okay, and so I now add this up, and what did you say I got? I don't know. 3, 7, 6 and 7 is 13, 15, 5, carry the 1, 2, 5. I'm getting 55, did I add it right? Okay, so I'm getting that this is 55. So what I've got here is, this is the face value, and this is the positional value. So I am multiplying face value times positional value.
That would be 55 to the
decimal.
To the 10th power?
Well, no, it's 55 decimals. That's why I've got the little 10 up there. It's 55 decimal.
Okay.
Not to the 10th power. It's 55 decimal. It's how to...
Huh? Yes.
So 5.5 or 0.5?
It's 55. So 110111 is 55. Because basically 1, 2, 4, 16, 32. And I add those all up because they're all, as you said, times 1, except for one of them, which I didn't count. So 1, 2, 4, 16, 32. Okay. So now you're going to do one.
Not correctly, anyway.
101001.
Okay. What is that? I'll let you first try to take it step by step.
So what is this? Forget this, because 0 times something is nothing. 1 times 16 is 16. Forget that one. 1 times 4, forget the next one. 1 times 1 is 5, 85. So that's 85 in decimal. Okay? Yeah.
So is this like... With the binomial numbers, is this just for, like, it makes it easier for a computer to understand or something? Like?
Yeah, no, computers work in binary.
Oh.
And if, yeah.
Basically machines.
All right.
Machines. Right. And if I were to take a dump of memory, and in fact, when I give you an assignment on this, I'm going to show you a little dump of memory. And I want to be able to figure out what's in memory, then, I need to know how to work with binary and or hex, and we'll get into hex too. And I'll explain why hex is important when we get to hex, but right now we're just dealing with binary. Okay, so that was 85. Okay, so if you go into the handout that I've given you, Okay, so there is an example, and I did one for 91, so I did 101101, and I did it for 91. Okay, so I've got converting binary to decimal, and then the next thing is converting decimal to binary. Okay, so we're going to look at that, and there are examples in here, as I said. So I'm going to go back here. Okay.
So I want to take the number, let's take 74. And that's decimal. And I want to convert it over to binary. Okay? So I start out with my positional values. And I've got 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. And again, I can write the 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 to the 2nd, but I get tired of that after a while. And I know it's going to be 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 powers of 2. Okay? So I've got 74. Can I use 128? Does 74 involve 128? If I put a 1 over 1 over that, 1 times 128 is 128. So clearly I don't need that, right?
No.
Okay. Do I need 64?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, I need 64, so I put a 1 there. I can put a leading 0 here if I want to, but I don't really have to have a leading 0. Okay, so then I say, okay, 74 minus 64, I've got 10 more that I've got to account for. Am I going to use 32? Am I going to use 16? Am I going to use 8? Yes. So there's 8. And that gives me 2 left. Am I going to use 4?
No.
Am I going to use 2?
Yes.
And that leaves me 0 left, so I clearly don't need 1. Okay? So that's the binary answer. 1001010. Okay?
What would happen if you left the 0 over?
No problem.
No problem.
And in fact, when you get into doing working with the computer, since I need 8 digits, when we start looking at that, you're going to have leading zeros. It's no harm in that, no harm in it in decimal. Leading zeros don't have any impact on anything. So you can have as many leading zeros as you feel like. Okay.
Is that why a lot of accounts, like bank accounts, have a bunch of zeros in front of it?
It may well be. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
They're like, well, I don't care about the zeros. Just give me, you know, WhatsApp.
That's right. No. I mean, in fact, yeah, my account has a couple of zeros, and they say they don't care about that. But apparently they need the right number of characters, so they throw in the zeros. That would be my guess. Okay. So we now know how to convert from binary to decimal, and from decimal to binary, right?
No, do another one.
All right.
Binary to decimal, yeah. Decimal to binary.
Okay.
All right. 127.
128.
Actually, I shouldn't have picked 127.
No,
that's a little bit much.
Could you do any number?
I can do any number.
I can do that right now.
No. We're going to change that. Make it 133.
Could you use any number up there?
I can write any decimal number in the world.
Right. And it would work like that?
Sure. If I have the patience to write out all of the things.
I mean, patience aside.
Yes, it would work.
That's
get it. I can't possibly recite what the ones and zeros would be. I'll be lost if I try to recite them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of zeros, though.
Yeah.
Right?
This one?
Yeah. There's a lot of zeros in this answer, right?
For any of them, is it possible to have, like, two binaries that equal the same decimal? Like, two different... No.
What if there was an actual decimal, a real decimal? Would you go through
Then you have to, yeah, then you have to use a decimal point and look at the stuff on the other side. Okay, so 128, 133, what do I need? 128 I can use. And 128, I got a 5 left. So, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1. Okay, so that's minus 4, excuse me, 1. And so I don't use the 2, and I have a 1. Yes, no, maybe? Okay.
Okay. Is it on the hot pot first again?
Huh?
Is it the hot pot?
No, I think this is, you know, it's fairly straightforward. How are we doing? Okay, so now...
Can we do the other one? The first one, we did the
one more? Oh, you got it.
I don't know if I do. You answer the question.
All right, let's see. 101111. What's that one going to be?
We're going to find out.
What are you getting?
47.
Okay. So we've got 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. So we're adding the 32, 8, 4, 2, 1. And we've got 7, 37, right?
Or
27.
Yes, area
1. Right. 47. Okay. Now, just to prove that we know what we're doing, we're going to do a little bit of adding and subtracting. So, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay. We're going to add this up.
Is it a decimal or binary?
It's a binary. Huh? What? Okay. So, let's look at the first column.
That's just because...
1 plus 1 is what?
2,
1, 0. Put down the 0, carries a 1. Okay? So we have 1 plus 1 is 1, 0, plus 1 is 1, 1, plus 1 is 1, 0, 0, right?
So if I say 1 plus 1 is 1, 0, plus 1 is 1, 1, plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. So I put down the 0, and I can either carry the 1, 0, or I can carry the 0 here and the 1 over there. I carry 1, 0 is the way I do it. So I'm starting out with, I'm carrying 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is what?
1, 1.
1, 1. So I put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. So I've got 1, 0, 0. Right? Okay, so now let's check ourselves. 1, 0, 1, 1 is what in decimal? For the sake of sanity, memorize this, 8421, okay, because that's the four digits. So, 8 and 2 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Okay, what's 111?
7.
421 is 7. What is 1000? 8. What's 1010? 10. So this is what? In decimal, guys, decimal. 36. Okay, so then let's look at this one. 1 and 2 I don't use, the 4 I do use, right? 8, 16, 32 I do use, right? 32 and 4 is 36. So I checked my math and I did it correctly.
Well,
yeah?
You lost me on the add and on
board. I lost you on what?
The add and on carry the 10. I understand why you got carry the 10, but 10 plus 1 is 1, 1.
That's right, 10 plus 1 is 1, 1. So I put the 1 down and carry the 1. Just like in decimal, you add something up that's 11, you put down a 1 and carry the 1.
Okay, so the 1 plus 1
is 1, 0. Plus 1 more is 1, 1. Plus 1 more is 1, 0, 0.
Clearly, you're all talking about binary, right?
0, 1, 1, 1, 0.
Okay. So I will give you one, and you do it.
Okay, try that one. Somebody give Pat a paper and pencil.
I'm even wearing a face over here.
You are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out.
There's a problem. I'll just do a thing.
Okay, 1 + 1 = 10, right?
Yeah.
Plus 1 is what?
1, 1.
Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 + 1 = 10.
Yeah.
Plus 1?
1, 1.
Plus 1?
100.
Put down the 0, carry the 10. 10 + 1 = 11. Plus 1 is 100. Plus 1 is 101. Put down the 1, carry the 10. 10 + 1 = 11. Plus 1 is 100. Right?
Equals 37.
I was that close to the last one I gave you. Okay. So 1, 1, 1 is a 7, right?
Yes.
What is this one?
11.
Not quite.
No?
I got 7. Well, it's 7. This is 13, right?
8, 4, 2.
8, 2. 8, 2, 1. 2, you're right.
Yeah.
11, sorry.
Okay.
I was adding 4.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, right. Okay, the next one I can do, it's 4.
All right.
And what's this one?
50.
Okay, so what have I got? 10, 7, carry the 1, 37. And down here I'm using the 1, the 4, and the 32. And so that adds up to 37. So I got it right. Okay, so now we're going to do a subtraction.
So do you have to show both ways of doing it? Like say,
no, I'm just showing you a way to check it.
No, I'm saying, like, if, say if you do his homework, you could do it either way, would you write one?
Yeah, but you have to give me the work. When, this is the one place where I make you actually pass in the work, and I will take it on paper. So you don't have to write this on the computer. But if you go and look at your calculator has binary conversions on it. Or at least if you have they use the online calculator.
Yep.
So, in other words, everything you should pass into me should be 100 because you can check it. But I won't give you credit unless I see the work because I actually want you to be able to maneuver binary.
But adding the going across this way.
Yeah, but I just want you to do the basic. I just will be checking as an extra editor. Okay, so 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. And if I am subtracting 1, 0, 1, 0, that's real easy, right? 0 from 1 = 1. 1 from 1 = 0. 0 from 0, 1 from 1 = 0. Nothing from 1 is 1, right? So there was no carrying involved in this, so it's fairly straightforward and easy. Now, when just like in decimal, if you want to check, you can add it back. So that's 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. So I can add these two things together to check. I can also go through and do the conversion. So what's 1, 1, 0, 1, 1?
Twenty-seven.
And what is 1, 0, 1, 0?
10.
10. And that subtracted is 17,
And here I've gone to 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 are being used, so that's 17. Okay, so now let's start carrying. Okay, so I'm going to subtract this. So 1 from 1 is 0, right? 1 from 0 I can't do. So I have to borrow. But whoops, that's a 0. Huh? So I got to borrow from over here. So actually I'm going to do this in green so that you can see the borrowing. So, I come over here, this goes to a 0, and I bring a 1, 0 over there, right? But that's not where I need it. So I borrow 1 from this, which leaves me 1, and I get the 1, 0 over there. Okay? So, 1 from 1, 0 is 1, right?
Yes.
1 from 1 is 0, nothing from 0 is 0, and there's a 1. Say that again?
That 10 minus 1 is 1.
Yes. Because 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. Right? 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. Okay. So what is this number up here? 25, and this is 7, and the difference is 18, and the 2 and the 16 are on, so that means 18, right? Okay. And I think we've just run out of time.
So, we will look at hexadecimal next week on Tuesday and hopefully get to codes. If not, codes will be after Thanksgiving.